Hi, listeners. Shira and Ryan here with the Innuendo and Outuendo podcast for August 13th. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing good. I actually just got back from vacation. I spent 11 days on the beach, which was absolutely amazing. So I'm kind of bummed to be back, but got to get back into the work habit. How are you doing, Shira?
I'm good. I am just finishing up my summer break and about to start the year again with my senior year of high school.
Very nice.
And so I'm excited to get back to school, but also appreciating my last week home when I can relax. And I've had a very eventful summer with a lot of theater, so that's been great.
That's awesome. Alrighty, so this week we have a very exciting podcast coming your way. We have the regular cast update, theater news, Wiccan news, and media sections.
And we also have a review of Camelot from Christina and a review of Wicked in Philadelphia from Jonathan, as well as an awesome interview with former Elphaba Anne Brummel. So be sure to stay tuned.
And now let's head over to Jonathan with this week's cast update.
Hi, this is Jonathan here with this week's cast update. In the Broadway company, Tom McGowan has replaced Adam Gruper as the Wizard, and Mr. McGowan has previously played the Wizard in San Francisco on both national tours and on Broadway. And Amanda Rhodes has left the company. On the second national tour, Lindsay Brett Carruthers has replaced Marissa Miller in the ensemble and is an understudy for Glinda. Ms. Carruthers has previously performed in Bring It On Broadway and recently graduated from Pace University's musical theater program. And now, Ryan, Christina, and Isaac will give us this week's theater news.
Hi, everybody. This is Ryan, and I'm here with Isaac and Shira for this week's theater news. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Just getting ready. I've got callbacks for the children's theater I direct. We're doing Honk, so I've got those tomorrow. I've been prepping for those all afternoon.
That's exciting. I'm also doing well. What about you?
Not bad. Not bad. Just getting set for work tomorrow. So.
Awesome.
Alrighty. So let's start off this theater news. The first North American tour of Queen and Ben Elton's We Will Rock You, built around 24 of Queen's biggest hits, will launch a national tour in Baltimore, Maryland at the France Merrick Performing Arts Center in October 2013, making its final stop at the Amundsen Theater in Los Angeles from July to August 2014. According to Showbiz 411, the rock musical could come to Broadway following the tour, which could be as early as summer 2014. This could mark the first time that We Will Rock You will be performed on Broadway since its original London debut in 2002. So what are you guys' thoughts about this show? Have you seen it live? Have you seen any YouTube clips at all?
I mean, I've seen clips of it, and it seems okay. I mean, it doesn't seem like really my cup of tea. It seems to be kind of in the same the same class as Rock of Ages. But Rock of Ages and Mamma Mia and stuff have done extremely well on Broadway.
Exactly.
I can see that going either way. What about you, Shira?
Yeah, I mean, I also haven't seen the show, but I'm just amazed by the fact that if there's going to be a tour, they expect the show to be on Broadway so soon after the tour.
Yeah.
I just think that's interesting, especially if they haven't announced it, but it's only a rumor.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see, though. I mean, like I said, I think it has a pretty good chance of doing it. It's done well in London, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, for the past couple of years, so.
And Carrie Ellis was in that, if I'm...
Yeah, she was big in that.
Rachel Tucker was, too, wasn't she?
Yeah, I think they both actually played the same part, but I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I think a bunch of people from Wicked have, been in it at some point, so.
Yeah.
The final principal casting for Broadway-bound musical If Then has been announced. Jerry Dixon, Jen Colella, Jason Tam, and Tamika Lawrence have joined the cast, which also already had Idina Menzel, LaShawns, Anthony Rapp, and James Snyder in it. So guys, what do y'all think about the show? Are y'all excited for it to come to Broadway? I know it's kind of been a big topic lately. What are your thoughts on this new casting?
I'm really excited. I hope that I get a chance to see it, obviously. I feel like every time I log on to Playbill.com, there's a new article about more casting for If Then with other big names.
Like the last couple weeks it has been.
Yeah, I feel like there's so much excitement around it. Everyone is sort of just hearing at least one of those names rings a bell, I think, to most people. And so I think that there's a lot of hype about it, so I'm sure that if not for just the fact that it's probably going to be a great show, I would assume that it's going to do quite well just because of who's in it.
I think so too, like especially with Idina Menzel. This is, I think, her first show back since Wicked. Am I correct with that? So I think bringing her back, that's going to bring in a lot of people, because I know with that huge hiatus, people have been missing her, and you know they just want to see an amazing show. So I think it'll do well.
Yeah, and Jin Colella, I love her. Like, I mean, I like everybody else too, but she was in Chaplin, and she was really, I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound horrible, but I'm going to say it anything. She was really one of the only good parts about Chaplin. I mean, the cast was great. Chaplin's one of those shows that I felt like the cast like was really, like actually Hayley Pudgeon was in it. Like the whole cast was fantastic. It was just the show itself was kind of blah. But the song that Jin Colella had, When It All Falls Down, is just a wonder. I actually have it on my iPod. It's a wonderful song, and it was a good scene, and Jin Colella had great comedic timing. So I'm excited for her to be in it too. So did you get to see that, Ryan? I know you didn't, Shira, but did you see it?
No, I didn't get a chance to.
I know it closed pretty quick too, so.
Yeah, it did.
Gary Numan, the 20th Century Fox Television co-head, announced plans for a stage musical of Glee, according to The Hollywood Reporter. There has been no word if the stage musical would feature the series stars such as Lea Michele, Darren Criss, and Matthew Morrison. What are your thoughts? Do you guys think that Glee should be turned into a musical, and do you think it would be successful?
Pardon me while I vomit. I'm sorry, I must be being, I'm tired, so I'm blunt tonight, but come on. I'm like, I love Glee. It's my guilty pleasure, but no.
Just no. I don't think so either.
I really do enjoy it, but it's just like, it's so unrealistic. And all people are going to do is compare it to the TV show. And I think it's a great thing to tour as a concert. It really is.
Yeah.
But it's just, and then what do you do with it? Is it just like,
exactly. There's too much going on. Like, how do you figure out, like, are you going to do, like, the first season? Or are you going to, like, try to cram it all into one show? That there's so much going on. I don't know how they're going to pull it off.
Exactly. Yeah. And it almost feels disrespectful now with Corey Monteith's death to have anybody, see him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I sort of pictured it as, when I read this article, that they were going to have like the same characters and maybe a different plot line, but I mean, I don't know who the actors would be. Obviously, that was just what I thought of. No basis in any article that I've read. But I think that it could be interesting, and it would probably have a pretty strong fan base because of Glee, but it would probably also lose a strong fan base because of Glee, that people who are fans of it as a TV show don't necessarily want to see all of the characters and all of the seasons crammed into 2 hours.
That's true. I think it's the big thing is going to be the comparison. Mm-hmm. So if they're looking, they're obviously going to be comparing it to the TV show. So it's going to be difficult because everybody's not going to be happy. So it's trying to find that middle ground of how to please everyone, but it's going to be very difficult to do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it could be, like Shira said, it could be very successful, potentially, but yeah. I don't know. I'm mucho skeptical-o. I don't know. That was a really Spanglish. But I'm sorry. I'll be very honest with you. I'm sitting in front of my television, and it's paused on the DVD, and the DVD player screensaver has taken over, and I'm watching the DVD screensaver bounce all over the screen, and it's distracting me. That is really horrible, isn't it? Bad podcaster. Anyway, I think I've come to the conclusion we need to keep recording these late at night. I think it adds to the humor of the podcast.
I think so, too.
Listeners, let us know what you think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, please tell us. Should we always record this when we're acting like we're high? Just but anyway, well, I guess, I mean, like I said, it could be good. It could be, and it could be fun. But the other thing is, like, what do you do for music? Because the whole point of Glee is, like, current music gets performed. So do you...
Yeah, it's all covers.
Maybe it will be, like, a create-your-own-adventure musical.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
That would be cool with, like, different songs as the society progresses.
There you go.
That would work.
We can write our own Glee musical.
It could be like a Drew type thing where the ending is different every night or something.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun. I loved that about Drew.
So did I. I love that. When it came back as a revival, oh, that was such a good show.
I was. I actually got to go to the closing show, which was kind of really fun for me.
Me too.
What? We were both there. Yeah. We didn't even know each other. Where did you sit?
No. I was in the last row in the mezzanine.
I was like towards the top of the mezz.
Okay.
On the right-hand side or the left-hand side?
I was on the right-hand side.
I was on the right-hand side too.
Oh my God.
Door?
What?
Did you do the stage door?
I did for a little bit, but then I kind of had to go catch my train, so I was like, I didn't get to stay for very long, so.
Pardon me while I scour my pictures to see if you're in any of them, because I bet you you are. I took a couple of pictures of the whole crowd at the stage door.
Cause it was okay. So
strange. But no, that's funny. We didn't even know each other back then. But yeah, I love it. Anyway, well, listeners, thank you so much for listening. And like Shira said, please let us know your thoughts on this week's theater news. All right, we'll head on over to our next section.
Hi, listeners. This is Christina here with Isaac. Welcome to Wicked News.
Hi, guys.
How are you doing, Isaac?
I'm doing well. I think I'm coming down with a little cold, but I'm doing okay.
I hope you get better. So, the ensemble of the United Kingdom Ireland tour of Wicked has been announced in addition to the leads. For more information on the cast, you can visit our website. For tickets for the UK Ireland tour, visit wickedtour.co.uk.
It's kind of always fun to see an all brand new cast being announced. I'd really like to see them. Yeah, I've always said I'd love to see them before I like hear anything about them or hear any clips of them or anything. I'd love to just see an all new cast, you know?
It'd be fun. And, you know, it's exciting because now the people in those parts of the United Kingdom and Ireland will get a chance to see Wicked without having to go to London to see it.
Yep, I agree. I don't even know the last time I saw a completely new cast of the show with nobody I had seen in it before. I'm sure it's been like literally for. I'm looking right now and I literally don't have any clue when it would have been. So.
Years, yeah. Probably. Probably years.
Well, I'm looking right now and in my little spreadsheet, it would have been New Orleans, but I saw Jesse J.P. Johnson as Bach on Broadway. I saw him go on for Bach.
Oh, wow.
And so as the understudy, yeah, literally like the last.
So wait, you just like nerdily opened up your spreadsheet as I was talking about that?
Of course I did. You know.
Okay.
You know I'm a nerd. Yeah, it's literally been, let's see, because I saw Perlo then. Maybe this, nope, because I'd seen her. Oh, this is going to be absolutely ridiculous. And see, a lot of it's because I saw people as understudies. Like Stephanie Brown, you know, I saw her as the understudy for Nessa. And so it's like I don't really count when I saw her as Nessa.
Right.
As a lead, that doesn't, I mean, that's not even, that's still not a new person for me. And so looking back, it's literally, could it be this cat? Nope, I'd seen him. This is actually kind of very fascinating. I'm up to 2010 already, and I still haven't found it.
Yeah, I figured it had been years, so.
Yeah, it's literally been years. So, you know, oh, here we go. Oh, nope, never mind. This is really fast. It's at least 2009. Here we go, I found it. The last time I saw a completely all-new cast was April 10th, 2009.
Oh, yeah.
That National had just opened.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I figured it had been a while. So, yeah, that's like 4 years ago. More than 4 years ago now, actually.
Crazy. Also crazy that I have a spreadsheet with all that information, but whatever.
yeah, that one's a little bit more...
nutty.
Concerning.
On August 19th, Christine Dwyer will be one of the artists performing the songs of Douglas Lyons and Ethan Pachter at The Cutting Room in New York City. The songs will be recorded for a live album. For tickets, visit thecuttingroomnyc.com. Yeah, that's a really exciting sounding concert. You know, Christine did a little interview with us for the podcast. It's a little bit later in the podcast this week. And she talks about how the team is great at finding songs that just fit perfectly for each performer's voice. So I'd love to be there and just hear all that, you know?
That's awesome. You know, I'm glad that at least we'll be getting an album out of it.
Yes, it's going to be wonderful.
This fall, Telly Leung and Lindsay Mendez will perform concerts at 54 Below.
Mr. Leung will perform on September 8th, while Ms. Mendez will perform on September 9th and December 9th. For tickets, visit 54below.com.
We like the 8th and 9th of months, don't we?
I know.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Anne Wood, former Madame Morble on the Asian tour of Wicked, has been cast in the Australian premiere of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels in the role of Muriel. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels focuses on two con men living in the French Riviera who become involved in a series of schemes to swindle wealthy women out of their riches. The Australian production begins at Sydney's Theatre Royal on October 24th. For tickets, visit dirtyrottenscoundrels.com.au.
So I actually saw the national tour of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels in 2007, and it's a fun show. You know, it's a comedy, and I had a good time. So, you know, I think, you know, hopefully they'll enjoy it down in Australia there.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Brian Justin Crum and Jared Zirilli have been cast in the upcoming North American tour of We Will Rock You. Mr. Crum will play the role of Galileo, and Mr. Zirilli will play the role of Brittany. For tickets, visit wewillrockyou.com.
We will rock you. Oh, my goodness, opera.
That wasn't opera. That was my normal voice.
Oh,
this
well.
Is opera.
Note to self, do not allow us to do this podcast when sleep is deprived. Do not. Does not go well for us. Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, I know, Christina, you haven't heard it yet since I haven't put it together, but the theater news is just as we all sound like we're high.
I've heard it's special.
It's a special one. Michelle London, Barrett Martin, and Don Richard have been cast in the La Jolla Playhouse and Kennedy Center joint production of Sideshow. Mr. Martin will play Ray and a freak, and Mr. Richard will play Martin Arnold and a freak. Ms. London is a swing and understudy for the roles of Daisy and Violet Hilton. Tickets to the La Jolla engagement go on sale September 8th at lajollaplayhouse.org.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to try to get down and see it in La Jolla down in Southern California, because this show has great music. I love the cast recording. I've played it a million times, and I would love to see a live production of this.
Yeah, I love some of the music, and so it's pretty thrilling.
Former Elphaba Anne Brummel has been cast in Mason Street Warehouse's production of Closer Than Ever. Closer Than Ever is a musical review and described as a bookless book musical. The show runs August 16th through September 1st. For tickets, visit sc4a.org. Oops. Okay. For tickets, visit sc4a.org. And that's the number 4.
That's really exciting. I mean, it's and that's another, you know, we interviewed Anne as well for the podcast this week, and so that's also at the end of this week's podcast. And it sounds like it's a really interesting show just based on what she says about it. It's they get to play lots of different characters in the show, and she gets to do a lot of good comedy stuff, and so it's an exciting opportunity.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
Aaron Mackey will perform in the Sing for Your Supper concert on December 9th. The concert offers a history of the American musical theater through duets, trios, and quartets. The concert takes place at Kauffman Music Center's Merkin Hall in New York City. For tickets, visit kauffmanmusiccenter.org. Her voice is just glorious, so I'd love to hear her sing anything. She has just such a soft, sweet, smooth, pitch-perfect voice, you know?
Yeah, she really does. Like I've listened to the Chaplin cast recording, and she's not featured heavily on that, but like what she is on is lovely. So I'm glad that she's doing other things. Original Broadway Glinda, Kristen Chenoweth, will appear on the season 10 premiere of the TLC series Say Yes to the Dress, assisting her friend Julie, who is getting married. The episode airs August 16th. Check your local listings.
That might just make me watch that show.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's not really a show I would watch, but, you know, Chenoweth is hysterical, so...
Yeah.
I bet it would be entertaining to watch.
For reals. Former Bach Josh Lamon has joined the cast of the upcoming off-Broadway production of Little Miss Sunshine in the role of Buddy. He joins fellow Wicked alum Stephanie J. Block, who will play Cheryl Hoover. Previews begin at Second Stage Theater on October 15th. For more information, visit 2st.com, and that's the number 2. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's like, I really enjoy the movie, so, you know, it'd be interesting to see how they musicalized it.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll end up on Broadway eventually.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, Stephanie J. Block, it would be amazing to see her, you know, originating another role on Broadway.
Definitely. Well, we'll have to go see that and when you're up there with me in April.
Yes. Coming soon to the podcast. Joel Grey, the original wizard, has been cast in the HBO movie The Normal Heart, based on the Tony Award-winning play. Mr. Grey co-directed the 2011 Broadway revival. His role in the movie has not yet been announced. So that's exciting. Yeah, I mean, I saw the play in San Francisco, I think it was last year. And, you know, it's a really moving play. And I think it's cool that, you know, he helped direct the revival and he has a role in it. I don't know, even if it's a small role, it's nice that, you know, he'll get to be in the movie as well.
Yeah, I love Mason Joel Grey. I saw him in Anything Goes, and he's just the most adorable little old man.
Awesome.
On August 16th, former Elphaba Julia Murney will perform with the musical group The Skibbies at 54 Below. The Skibbies are known for their acoustic performances of pop songs wearing nothing but their underwear. For tickets, visit 54below.com, and that's the number 54. I'm thinking of many inappropriate comments I could make about this.
All right, so that should be exciting. Julia Murney is awesome, and, you know, so it should be a lot of fun to see her perform with this group. And, you know, I love acoustic music is always lovely to listen to, so.
And it's definitely an interesting idea for our concert series, I have to say, so.
Exactly. Well, that's it for Wicked News. Now Isaac will give us the media.
Hi, listeners. Isaac here with media from the last 2 weeks. So to start with, we're going to look at some video footage we had posted. The Party, a group former Nessa Rose Dee Dee Magno Hall is a part of, has posted an official music video for the song Salute to Summer. Be sure to check it out, and you can also purchase the single on iTunes, Amazon, or Google Play. We also posted a video of Donna Vivino on the fabulous Seth Rudetsky show Obsessed, and it is a wonderful series where Broadway performers join Seth to talk a little bit, and occasionally they'll even sing. Well, Donna gets to chat with Seth about her time in Les Mis and sings a little mashup of Les Mis and Wicked, where, yes, she does her famous Fiero riff, or alternate note, I guess I should say. And then she sings a selection of from Star of David, a show she recently performed in regionally, and it's just a great song. It's really funny, and you get to see kind of a different side of Donna than you see with her Elphaba. You get to see her real awesome comedic timing, and it's a lot of fun, so be sure to check it out. We also posted a video of Megan Hilty talking about her role on the brand new upcoming television series Sean Saves the World, starring Sean Hayes. She talks about her role, and as does actor Thomas Lennon on the show. And it's a great little interview. It's about 4 minutes long, so be sure to check it out. Next, we're going to talk about our just standard media section, and we only have one post from there in the last 2 weeks, and that's where we posted media from the stop of Wicked's first national tour in Philadelphia. There's a couple of articles, 2 reviews, and so I'm sure you'll enjoy them both, so be sure to check them out. All right, and now Jonathan will give us a review of the first national tour of Wicked in Philadelphia.
Hello, listeners. This is Jonathan here again, and right now I'm going to be giving a review of multiple performances of the first national tour in Philadelphia. So this tour was in Philadelphia for 6 weeks total, and I lived pretty close by, so it was easier for me to go up there. And I ended up seeing a lot of different covers and understudies, standbys, temporary replacements on for Elphaba and Glinda mainly. I think in 6 weeks I saw 4 Elphabas and all 3 of the Glindas, which is crazy.
Wow, that is kind of nuts. I mean, it's a really cool opportunity, but it's, you know, not something you expect, you know?
Yeah, because usually there are only 3 Elphabas in a company at one time, and 5 Elphabas went on in Philadelphia. So it was cool to get to see different people, just because they were having some, you know, emergencies, you know, people getting sick, people going on vacation, so they had to bring in Dee Rossioli and Carla Fickler in for a week. Mm-hmm. And I saw, so at Elphaba, I saw Alison Loff, Dee Rossioli, Laurel Harris, and Shayla Osborne. Mm-hmm. And I was excited to see all these people. I've seen Allison and Dee previously, but I had never seen Laurel and I'd never seen Shayla. And when I saw Shayla, it was only her second time ever going on Azalea, so that was pretty exciting also.
Whoa, yeah.
And I had never seen an understudy for Elsa before. I've seen a bunch of standbys, but never an understudy. Right. And I never actually realized until seeing an understudy. Have you ever seen an understudy, Elsa?
No, I have not. I've only seen a few standbys. I mean, I've actually not seen a lot of covers for Elsa.
Yeah, I've seen five or six standbys, I think, but never an understudy. And I didn't realize until seeing one. Well, you know, it was only her second time going on, but they really don't get as much time to work with the creative team. So Shayla, she was still very green, pardon the pun. But I was quite impressed for her second time going on. She made some really good acting choices. And, I mean, I did see, you know, a lot of things. She reminded me more of Z, actually, than Allison.
Okay.
In her
It makes sense.
Right, because she covered Z for a few months before Allison joined the company.
Right.
So I was pretty impressed with her, and it was also pretty exciting because she was going on with Cassie Okenka, and that's pretty rare to see an understudy for Elphaba and Glinda in the same performance.
Well, that like pretty much never happens.
Yeah, so it was, and I know they rehearsed together a lot actually. Cassie Okenka had told me, so they had really good chemistry, I thought. Mm-hmm. And I also got to see Laurel Harris go on with Cassie, and let me tell you, I was blown away by those two together. I really do think that they both have the potential to play these roles full time, Laurel and Cassie. And I know you've seen Laurel, and I think you would agree with me on that about her.
Yeah, oh no, definitely. I mean, when I saw her, I was like, yeah. I was like, she just feels like somebody who could just transition right into the lead role with no. I mean,
I totally agree.
Nothing
like for you know, and she's gone on had a lot more chances to go on recently. Mm-hmm. And I think that she's definitely growing in the role and keeps getting stronger and stronger. I hope she's someone that eventually will be it full time.
Mm-hmm.
Dee Rossioli, I've seen her on Broadway, and when she did her first national tour, the first time she did her tour since, and it was interesting seeing her just be thrown into this, even though I know she's done it like over 1,000 times, like. She could probably be asked like 2 hours before if she could do Elphaba on Broadway and could do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting seeing her being thrown into a cast that she hadn't worked with, in a few months. And when I saw her, Sarah Schenken was on as Glinda, and I was really, really impressed by Sarah also. I thought her comedic timing was like spot on.
Yes, I loved her.
Yeah, so it was pretty exciting to see Dee again, because I wanted to see her the last time she was on tour, but I hadn't gotten the opportunity to see her then. And I could tell that, she was kind of thrown into it, week of, like, certain cast members that maybe she hadn't worked with in a while. There wasn't, as strong chemistry as there would have been if she had been in the company regularly. And Allison Luff, I only actually saw Allison in Philadelphia once, but her vocals are stellar. Like, one of the best albums I've ever seen vocally, I think.
Right.
And I really like her acting also. She's more, I thought, like, more of the innocent portrayal of Elphaba, as opposed to Laurel, where I thought Laurel was more, like, really solid and, like, strong, She's more intimidating, I thought.
Right.
That was just my opinion.
That's a pretty good opinion, yeah.
Yeah, so as for the Glinda, since I talked a little bit about the Elphabas already, I saw Jen Gambity, Sarah Schenken, and Cassie Okenka, so all the Glindas I saw, and I loved Jen. Love Jen. She's also someone that I'd like to see her do Glinda on Broadway, just because she already has like a bunch of Broadway and I thought she worked well with both Allison and Laurel.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen her previously on tour, and I enjoyed her a lot then. Just like her comedic timing, acting, she has a really layered portrayal, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then both of the understudies for Glinda on this tour are fantastic, Sarah and Cassie. I talked a little bit about both of them earlier, but right. Cassie was, I really enjoyed both of them a lot, and I know they both gotten opportunities to go on for Glinda a lot, like more than the average Glinda understudy,
Yeah, for real. I mean, that's not really a common thing for the Glinda understudies to go on as much as they do, but it's wonderful that they get a chance to on this tour.
Yeah, I was really impressed by both of them, and to see them with the understudies. Well, I saw Cassie with Sarah, and I saw, oh, I'm sorry, I saw Cassie with Shayla and Laurel, and I saw Sarah with Dee and Laurel, so it was cool to see that happen also. Yeah. Even though understudies don't often go on together, usually they have rehearsed together in understudy rehearsal and, you know, put in.
Right.
As for the rest of the cast, Kurt Hansen is Zero. I saw Kurt in Next to Normal several times before ever seeing him as Zero. Right. And I have to say that his first portrayal, he grew on me a lot, where, you know, at first he wasn't, like, one of my favorites, but over time I ended up, like, growing to enjoy him in the role a lot more.
Right.
Kim Zimmer is Madame Morrible. She was hilarious. She was very evil in that shape, which I really liked. Yes, I thought she was fantastic. Really, really great. Jesse J.P. Johnson is Bach. I thought he was, like, that's a very well-deserved promotion from being the Bach understudy on Broadway to doing it full-time. He's, like, one of the best Bachs I've ever heard vocally, I would say.
Yeah, he could sing, like, anything, basically, as I think, so...
Yeah, and Jamie Rosenstein as Vanessa Rose, she's another person that, you know, sort of grew on me a lot in the role. And one scene that I really, really enjoyed her in was in Ozdust with Jesse when they're at the Ozdust ballroom. I really liked her in that.
Yeah, I really liked the little alternate note she takes there. It's not a big thing, but the little, and you felt sorry for me, instead of going, just sorry for me, like she goes,
yeah,
and
I really liked how enthusiastic she was when he's like, let's dance. And then he starts wheeling her around, and she goes, "Hey!" I like that also. I like those two together in that scene.
Yeah, they're fun.
Trying to think who else haven't I mentioned yet. John Davidson is the wizard. He's very energetic in Wonderful, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Clifton Davis was a pretty solid Dillaman. You know, it's not the largest role in the show, but I thought he did a good job in the scenes that he was in.
Yeah, he'd be a good wizard.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Dillamans would be good as the wizards, like the ones who haven't covered it also.
I totally agree.
And I thought the ensemble was pretty strong also. Like, there were a lot of standouts in the ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great cast overall they have on the first national tour, and they're in Boston right now, so if anyone can see them, you know, in Boston or any other city, I'd recommend checking them out.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jonathan.
Hi, listeners. So today I'm going to give you a review of the San Francisco Playhouse production of Camelot. The selling point of this production was that Wilson Germain Heredia played the role of Lancelot. People may remember him as the original Angel in the musical Rent, and he won a Tony Award for that performance. So I saw the August 3rd matinee of Camelot, and, you know, overall, I enjoyed the show very much. I've seen Camelot before. I had seen the national tour with Michael York, Rachel York, and James Barber back in 2007. So, Johnny Moreno played Arthur, and for me, he was the best part about this show. His Arthur was charming, and you could definitely see, like, why Guinevere ended up going with him. And I'm just on another note, it was nice to see an Arthur who was age-appropriate. I mean, Michael York is obviously very talented, but he really didn't come off as the right age to play Arthur, so I enjoyed seeing a King Arthur that, you know, was a little bit older, but not, I mean, he should be older than Guinevere, but he still, you know, has some youth to him, so he sang well, and he acted well, and I've always loved the monologue at the end of Act One that Arthur gives. So Monique Haffrin played Guinevere, and she was pretty good. I thought her acting was a little stiff here and there, but she had a dry sense of humor that worked really well for Guinevere, and she has a beautiful soprano voice. And then Wilson as Lancelot, he did a good job. You know, he has a lovely voice, and, you know, I think he did a good job of balancing Lancelot's arrogance and obliviousness, you know. Lancelot is kind of arrogant, but he's also kind of clueless in a way, and it was just really good to see him. And I also had to note Charles Dean as Merlin and Pellinor was hilarious. You know, that's, you know, it was kind of cool to see Merlin and Pellinor played as a dual role, which I hadn't seen in the last production. So, you know, he balanced the comedy and the loyalty to Arthur very well. So the production, overall, it's pretty good. Some things I enjoyed.
They included the songs I Loved You Once in Silence and Fie on Goodness, which I had not seen for the 2007 tour, so it was really great to see those. And the ensemble was very strong. The only thing I'm going to say about the costuming is, was it really necessary for the women to all have belly-bearing costumes? I didn't really find that necessary, but, I mean, everybody, all the costumes looked, you know, like they belonged to the same time period, at least. So overall, it was a really good production, and I might go back and see it again before it ends in September. I'm not sure yet. Depends on the time. And for those of you who know Camelot, the thing that's the saving grace about this show is the music. Lerner and Lowe's score is just gorgeous. To be honest, the book is rather problematic, especially the main conflict, in my opinion, kind of comes out of nowhere. And if you've seen Camelot and you know what I'm talking about, I'd love to get your thoughts on that. But, like I said, the score saves it, and despite that one problem in the book, it's still an entertaining story. So if you're in the San Francisco area, I recommend seeing it. So it's at the San Francisco Playhouse. Thanks, listeners.
Hi, listeners. This is Isaac, and I'm here with Anne Brummel, who many of you probably saw as Elphaba during her time on the Second National Tour or saw her in the ensemble of the Second National Tour in the Chicago production of Wicked. She's currently performing in Mason Street Warehouse Theater in Michigan, production of Closer Than Ever. This production is the Midwest premiere of the show and will run from August 16th through September 1st. So how are you doing, Anne?
I'm doing great.
So tell us a little bit about Closer Than Ever and what exactly you do in the show.
Closer Than Ever was written by Richard Maltmey and David Shire, who you may be familiar with. They wrote the musical Baby, and they also wrote the musical Big. So they've been around for a long time. And Closer Than Ever is sort of a compilation, I guess more of a song cycle, of a lot of their songs. It pretty much touches on relationships, not just romantic, but friendships and relationships with parents and children and husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, people that you like but they don't know you like, dating. It kind of touches on everything. And so it's a four-person cast. And what happens is we sing songs, and our characters change as per what the song requires. You know, there are solos, there's duets, there's group numbers. And so it's really kind of fun because you get to be different people at different times.
That's
but
neat.
It's basically what we would call a song cycle. There's no plot. There's no dialogue. It's just music.
Wow. So is this the first time you've done something like that as a performer?
Yes. Yes,
so,
it definitely is.
What have you found to be, you know, fun or challenging about that rehearsal process?
Challenging about the rehearsal process, one, it's summer theater, and so, you know, sometimes your rehearsal process is very short. So we've had it will ultimately be a little over 2 weeks of rehearsal.
Wow.
And it is a very, very wordy show lyrically. And there's really difficult harmonies. So the first day we got here, you kind of had a feeling like your brain was going to explode because you just couldn't understand how you were going to learn all of this.
Right.
But what's exceptionally fun about it is that it's unique because you get to play. I guess I should end it there. You get to play and you get to be silly, and I get to actually do a lot of comedy in this show, which is something that I love to do and haven't had a chance to do very often.
Mm-hmm.
And you really get to play around with different characters. You know, at one point I'm this real sort of Southern girl who's talking about how I'm upset that someone broke up with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, at the end of the show, I sing a really beautiful song, about, you know, it's called I've Been Here Before, and it's just sort of a reflection on how, you know, you grow stronger as you experience more in life. So I get to sort of really run the gamut of different characters, and I also get to do a lot of different things vocally, you know, that you don't always get to do in one show.
Right. Right. I think it's great that you're getting to do a little bit of comedy, too, just because I know one comment that was made a lot about your Elphaba performance is that you did a really great job of bringing out some of the funnier moments that other people might not have caught, like mocking Glinda at certain parts, you know,
yeah,
stuff like that. So it's great that you're getting to do something with some true comedy in it.
It's very fun. I'm having a good time with it.
So what do you like/dislike about taking a show from the ground up, like you're doing here and like you've done regionally? I know you've done Evita regionally, other shows you've done regionally, mm-hmm. versus stepping into a show that, like Wicked, that's already running.
Well, You know, I mean, you get to bring a lot more of your, you get to sort of mold things around you when you're doing it from the ground up. So, you know, if a director says, you know, do this step right here, and you kind of go, I don't feel like that makes sense on me, mm-hmm. then they'll figure out something that fits for you. And you're also getting to create. It's usually, you know, here's the song, do what you want to do with it.
Right.
And then they go back and tweak it. So I think that's the biggest difference, is you really get to make it your own. Although doing Wicked and having, you know, gone into that show, I never felt like I didn't get to make that my own either. I think mm-hmm. you just sort of do a lot of, when you're going into a show that's already set, when someone tells you to do something, you kind of go, you always say, okay. And then you sort of figure out later how to make it your own.
Right.
So you say a lot of, yes, sure, I'll walk there, you walk there. And so you're given sort of like it's almost like coloring. So you're given the picture, and then you get to go in and color it. And here you get to kind of create the picture and then color it. So,
right.
So you get, that's sort of the difference, if that makes sense.
Right, no, it does. And so, like, with a show like Wicked that you stepped into, like, how do you find that, you personally, like, how do you find your choices, both acting-wise, you know, you had some very unique choices as Elphaba, and the same thing, you know, vocally, you did some neat little alternate notes, stuff like that. Like, how do you find what's appropriate for you? Is there a particular way that you do it, or is it just natural?
You know, I think acting wise, if you're true to yourself, you know, people always said, like, did you try to do it like Adina, or did you try to do it like Eden, or all, you know, all these amazing women who've done it. And the truth is that, like, I'm sure I've stolen stuff from them. I don't think that any note that I created was, you know, it might've been a morph of something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as long as you're honest to who you are and bring yourself to each role, that's instantly going to make the character unique.
Right.
So, I mean, I think as long as you're willing to put yourself out there and not be afraid to make a choice, and it might be wrong, it might be right, if you go there and are just you, I think that will always make something unique to yourself. I mean, you'll always see something that somebody does and go, oh, I'm going to steal that. But ultimately... that person does that, and then you'll take her bit and steal it, but it's still going to be you.
Right.
You know, you just put your spin on it. But,
right.
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with stealing. I mean, shoot.
No.
Some of those girls did some real smart things, and I was happy to steal them. And sometimes people do things that you would never think of, and then sometimes you do things that nobody else would ever think of. And I think ultimately with all the things, all those different elements merging together, you then have created your own thing without even maybe really realizing that you created your own unique spin on it.
Right.
You know, some of those lines in Wicked, because of my sense of humor and my personality, the way that I read them on the page were instantly sarcastic or were instantly funny to me. Whereas
right.
somebody else who had a different sense of humor and a different personality might not have thought that those lines had any humor in them.
Right.
You know, it's also just the way we as individuals perceive things and interpret things.
Right, and it's kind of fun also with a show like Wicked that you can almost, and every, you know, and Elphaba, specifically in people that are playing Elphaba now, you can see little bits of past Elphabas in them, especially if it's somebody like that they've covered, you know, even though they make
yeah.
it their own, you can see, and vocally especially, you know, with like little alternate notes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always kind of fun that you yeah. can, you can sometimes watch somebody and go, oh, I can tell right there that she covered Anne Brummel or something like that, you know?
Which is funny because I feel like I, so much of where I learned my Elphaba, and luckily we are sort of similar, was from Dee.
Right, yes.
Who,
I just
mm-hmm. bow down to at all times. She's so brilliant. But, like, you know, Dee and I are sort of similar, so I think I was lucky that I learned it from her because I never felt like I was thinking, like, oh, my God, everyone's so different from me, you know, because I had someone who kind of was like, oh, I get her.
Right.
I understand her.
Right, and I actually saw you both do it, and so I could agree that there are little things like, you know, some of the humor and sarcastic side that you both brought out, but you still both made it your own and brought it out in a different
yeah.
way.
I think that also comes with time. I don't know if my Elphaba, like, day one was like that. You know,
yeah,
I
don't
you
know.
You get comfortable and feel like you kind of own something a little bit for yourself. I think that then you get to play a little bit more.
Right, and I didn't see you until very late in your run, so I can't really speak
to
that. So, yeah, it was like February of 2012, and I think you left in late April. So, So this is kind of a funny question about the show, but if you could describe Closer Than Ever in one word, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. Closer Than Ever in one word. relatable.
Oh, I like that.
Relatable. I've never done a show. I mean, obviously we've already touched on the fact that I've never done a show that is like that. This, it's definitely more of like a sort of cabaret type setting, but not even really. It's sort of its own unique thing. But it's relatable. I feel like every song I see someone do or I do, I feel like either I think, oh my God, I've had this experience, or oh my God, my friend is going through that, or I have an aunt that is like this, and I heard a story. I just think there's so many different things that people can connect with, whether you're like a 90-year-old married couple, or you're a single, you know, gay male, or whether you're a single mother, or just a happy couple with three kids, like living in the suburbs. I think there's something for everyone to connect with.
Mm-hmm.
Relatable would be my word.
I love it. So what's your favorite thing about the city you're working in right now? And can you tell me how to pronounce the city too? Because I have no...
Saugatuck. You pronounce it Saugatuck.
Saugatuck?
It's on Lake Michigan. It's beautiful. It's very much... It's a beach town. So if you've ever been to... I don't know what the Alabama equivalent is, but I mean, I grew up near the Jersey Shore, so it sort of reminds me of like Cape May, or I also grew up going to Cape Cod as a kid. So any sort of little beach town, you know, there's there's the fudge shop, and there's a spice store, and great little coffee shops and restaurants, and we're right near the water. There's lots of boats and cabins, and we're near the beach. So it's just delightful. It feels like... It's definitely one of those moments in your career where you go, God, I'm so lucky because I feel like I'm actually on vacation.
Yeah.
And when you come to work, you're having so much fun that it doesn't feel like you're at work. You're just sort of getting
wonderful.
To play with really fun people and do what you like to do. And then you get to hang out in like a fun little town.
How wonderful is that?
Yeah, it's like a little getaway from the city. It's very nice.
Yeah, I actually live like 45 minutes from the beach. So I definitely understand that it's wonderful.
Yeah, lots of ice cream shops, which I have not gone into yet. I'm very happy to say I've not done it.
Good for you. So if you could pick any role in a show currently on Broadway to play right now, just any role, what role would it be and why?
That I haven't played already?
Well, I guess Elphaba is kind of a given, but...
Any role. You know, honestly, that's really hard because I don't... Does it have to be something that I could actually play?
No, I mean, you can run with this question however you want to.
Okay. I'm going to say that I would never probably play this role, but I think it would be so cool. Oh, no, I'm torn between, like, two. Oh,
you can say them both.
I'm really torn between, like, the lead player in Pippin and Cinderella. I wouldn't probably be either of them.
But they both be fun roles.
What?
I said, but they both be fun roles.
Yes. I just think Cinderella because, like, I saw it with my little, I took my cousin to see it. She was six, and it was her first Broadway show, and I wanted to be Cinderella by the end of it. So I would love to be Cinderella, and I would love to be able to be the lead player in Pippin. Neither of those things will happen, but.
Oh, you never know.
If they could. Nah, it's okay. I'm okay with it. There's other things I'll get to do that those girls won't do.
So would you like to, I'm kind of touching on that, would you like to return to Wicked at some point and maybe do the role of Elphaba on Broadway?
I would do the role of Elphaba anytime they called me. It's, you know, I was very happy to have, to be able to step away from it. I think I'd been with the show for so long, and as you know, it's a bit of an exhausting role. And, you know, I had been on the road for almost 4.5 years, and I think I needed to sort of check back in with reality and sort of plant some roots somewhere again. It had been a very long time. And now that I've stepped away, and especially now that I've had the chance to work on some other projects since I've been gone, I think I would go back with a very different just a very different take on things. I think I would go back with a fresh set of eyes and ears, which is really what you need when you're a part of a show for that long. Sometimes, you know, you forget the outside, and you just need to gain a little bit of perspective and see a different picture. And so I, of course, I hope that I get to go back, whether it be in New York, on the road, as a, you know, I would do anything. And I mean, I love the role so much, and I love playing her. But, you know, who knows? I feel like, you know, with Wicked, I feel like you never really say goodbye to it. I feel like somehow everyone comes back at some point. You never know when it could be. So, I mean, hopefully I would love to return and get to be green again. But I am definitely grateful for the getting to walk away from it a little while, because I've worked on some really fun things, and, you know, you get to grow, I think, a little bit as a performer, when you get to work on new things. So,
right.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fascinating. You get to see you do it again then too, after, you know, having been gone for a while and having
yeah.
had such other great experiences.
Yeah, and well. Having a break too is also, you know, it's helpful. I mean, any job that you, I mean, I again, 4 years straight of performing one role, essentially. I mean, I know I did different things, but
right.
You know, you sort of get, you fall into traps, I think, sometimes, as much as we try not to as performers. You constantly try to make things different, but you do, you fall into a trap, like you get your routine. And I mean, you guys as fans who have seen it so many times, you know, you guys come all the time, and you probably know more about what we did on stage consistently, more so than we do half the time. I feel like you guys notice things more than we do. But, you know, I think you do sort of become a little predictable, and you don't ever want that. And I think so being able to step away, and I remember thinking when I first got back, I was like, oh, God, I want to do Wicked again. And then I had a moment where I was like, you know what? I want to be able to do it when I literally have to relearn it. Because for a long time, within that first year, I felt like if someone woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, you have to go on for Alpha Bun an hour, I would have been able to do it. You know, I would have been like, sure, okay, fine. I got it. I remember the words. I remember everything. And now I'm starting to think like, I think I'd have to relearn this again, which I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like exactly where I would want to be. I would want to relearn it. I wouldn't want it to be the same.
Right, because even if you don't have, you know, specifically like a director in there, you know, maybe giving you new insight, even just within yourself, I feel like you would find new insight at this point, just learning it again.
Oh, definitely.
So.
Yeah, I mean, and life experiences too will always alter mm-hmm. how you perceive things and interpret things.
Yeah, I'd be kind of interested, and this is certainly not a knock on anybody that's young that's done the role, but I'd be really interested to see some of the people that have played it in their early 20s come back and play mm-hmm. it maybe in their mid 30s, since
yeah,
you know,
they're
not opposed to casting. It doesn't seem like anywhere in that spectrum they'll cast anyone from about 20 to almost 40. And I think it'd just be really fascinating, because I'm sure there'd be major changes, especially probably in Act 2 of Wicked, just
mm-hmm.
because they've grown up so much, you know?
Yeah, and I think Elphaba, even though she's young when you first meet her, I think it is, I mean, I've seen a lot of girls do it. I think most of the girls that I've seen have been sort of in the later 20s, early 30s. But, I mean, she is a very old soul. I think.
Mm-hmm.
While she's youthful, I mean, she's been through a lot already at a young age. And so I think, you know, anytime you can bring age and a little bit of wisdom, I mean, I not that I carry lots of wisdom with me, trust me, but... You know, I think anytime, the more life lessons you learn, just the more your, you know, bag of tricks grows, you know, bag of things you can pull from emotionally and mentally, physically, all that. You know, it gets bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything coming up next for you that you'd like to, or that you can tell us about at this point after you're done with the show?
That I can tell you about. I mean, I work very closely with a gentleman by the name of Bobby Cronin, who's
mm-hmm.
a composer, and I know that I'm a part of a project that he does that has some fun things happening called The Concrete Jungle. Anybody wants to go, there's an album. I'm not on the album, but it's a fun show. We'll see what happens with that. But nothing specific that I would discuss right now.
All right. And for those of you listeners that are not very familiar with Bobby Cronin, you need to go on iTunes and download The Understudy by Anne Brockle. and is a fantastically hilarious song, and you, of course, do a great job with it. And
Well, thank you.
It's a lot of fun. So it's really funny, too, because you sang that shortly after you sang that. Didn't you get the understudy track of Elphaba for Wicked?
I did. What's interesting is that Bobby actually wrote the understudy for me. And so I was the first person to ever sing it. And what's funny is that, and he tells this story now, so I feel like I'm allowed to, but I was doing a concert for him, and I was already singing something else. And he called me and said, "Hey, I've been working on this song. Would you be willing to sing it? It's about being an understudy." And I said, "Sure." He said, "I don't have the music laid down yet, but I'll send you the lyrics."
Uh-huh.
And he sent me these lyrics, and I was reading them, and I just remember thinking, like, oh my God, this is not going to be funny if I sing this. It's just going to sound mean, and I'm going to sound like a jaded, jealous, bitter performer. I was like, I cannot sing this song. And I was so scared to call him, but because Bobby and I have been friends for years, and I called him, and I was like, "Bobby, you know how much I love you, but I can't sing this song like this." And so he went back and rewrote it, and the two of us came up with some funny things together. The Laura Benanti joke, he originally had rhymed it with Benanti, because that's what a lot of people call her. But Laura and I actually kind of grew up together, and we're friends for a long time. And so I was like, "That's not how you say her name. It's Benanti."
So that's where that came
from. So that's
sort
of where that joke came from.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, so we sort of worked that song together, and he wrote it, and it sort of became – it was – that moment on, I never sang a sad song for Bobby again. He was like, "You will always sing funny songs."
I love it. So, so
the understudy was the first thing I think that people started to notice on YouTube. And then I did get Elphaba soon after that.
Right. So as we finish up, like, what kind of advice would you give to aspiring performers?
Always my first piece of advice is to learn everything about everything. I think in today's world of theater, you have to be strong at everything. And it's actually a regret that I have. Like, I wish I played the piano. I wish I was a better sight reader. I wish I was a better dancer. I just think because theater has changed so much, it used to be where you would have a singing ensemble, a dancing ensemble, and, you know, an orchestra. And now you not only have to be the singing ensemble, but the dancing ensemble and the orchestra. You kind of have to do all of it.
Right.
So I think the more skills you can acquire, the better. And the other thing is that if you know it's what you want to do, then go for it. Don't ever, I know this is going to, I don't want to curse, but don't ever half-ass anything. You really have to put yourself out there in this business.
Right.
And, you know, if you do something halfway, the person who just threw themselves into it and gave 100% is going to be the one they notice. So just, you know, just 100% all the time.
Right. That's great advice. Well, thank you for being with us, Anne.
Of course. Thanks so much for letting me do this.
Hi, listeners. This is Isaac, and I'm here with Shira and Christine Dwyer, who's with us today to discuss a couple of concerts that she'll be doing soon. How are you doing, Christine?
I'm good. Hope everyone else is doing well, too.
Thank you. So tell us about what you have coming up.
Coming up, actually, this Monday, August 19th, I'm singing in a concert at the Cutting Room for a new composing team, Lyons and Packchar. And Doug Lyons is one of my best friends from college, so I'm really excited about it. He just kind of started writing music on the Book of Mormon and sent me a couple things and got me to sing this awesome song called Let Go, which I'm really excited about.
And there was actually a... there was a clip of that posted recently, wasn't there, on Facebook?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, he asked me to, like, share it with all the Wicked people, too, because he knows how supportive everyone is, you know, from the Wicked family. So hopefully I'll see some of you guys there.
I know there are several people that are coming. So, and then you're doing one of their concerts soon as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm doing Broadway Sings Amy Winehouse, and actually Billy Ty and Christine Reese Ty are doing it, too, and I'll be singing with Gina. So we're all really excited to be under the same roof again. It's going to be really fun. And that one's not until September, September 9th.
Wow.
Yeah. So we have a little while to kind of get that one together, but I'm really excited about that too.
Mm-hmm. So how have you enjoyed being back in New York since leaving Wicked? What's it like to actually be able to, you know, sit down and breathe for a moment?
Oh, it's been great. You know, I did a lot of traveling around, visited family and friends, went on vacation and kind of relaxed for a while, so it's been really nice. But I've definitely in the last couple of months been keeping busy with concerts and just helping my friends out with some new music they're writing. And so I've definitely kept busy, but it's really exciting to be back and just to sing other stuff and work on new material and be rested and be able to hang out with my friends who I hadn't seen in like 3 years. So it's been really nice.
I'm just wondering, what can you tell our listeners who are going to the concerts, what they can expect?
Oh yeah, well, definitely with the Lions and Packchart concert at the Cutting Room, it's like R&B, soul, there's some rap mixed in, there's some kind of more traditional contemporary musical theater stuff. So it's pretty much, no matter what your musical taste is, you're gonna find something that you like. Plus, Doug really knows how to pick and choose the right songs for people's voices. So you're gonna see some people that you probably recognize from some Broadway shows, and then other people that he kind of is introducing to New York for the first time. All, you know, super talented, really great voices, and his music is just really fun to sing. So it's going to be a lot of different types of music infused into one concert, and there's really, that's pretty much what I could say to expect. I mean, you're going to hear some amazingly talented people and just some really, really fun music.
That's awesome. Can you say what you guys are singing at the Amy Winehouse concert, or is that a secret that we have to wait until the day of to find out?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's a secret or not.
Okay.
The only reason that makes me feel like maybe it is because I know that they kind of want to change things around and not have people necessarily know what the song is as soon as it starts, and then once it gets into it, you'll know. So maybe I shouldn't say. But me and Gina are definitely singing one of her really well-known popular songs, and we're kind of putting a twist, a new spin on it. So it's going to be really fun.
That'll be really fun.
Yeah.
And just kind of like a staple question that we kind of started asking everybody we do these interviews on the podcast with, because I think it's a really fun question. If you could pick any role on Broadway right now, other than Elphaba, to play on Broadway, what role would it be and why?
Right now, let's see. I probably have to say Girl in Once, I think.
Ooh.
That's definitely my favorite show that I've seen in the last couple of years. And she's definitely not a like crazy rock belter like the things that I'm usually cast in, but in terms of acting, I feel like it would definitely be a challenge. And that would be really fun for me. I would love to be considered for something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
So do you have any advice that you would give to people that are kind of getting into performing arts? And what they should do to kind of start pursuing a career?
Yeah, I mean, basically never stop working, even when you're not working and getting paid for it. It's sort of like you have to constantly take classes, constantly keep your voice and your body healthy. You know, the normal things like that, but also just to surround yourself with creative people who love you and support you no matter what, because you're definitely going to find a lot more rejection than you will acceptance kind of in the actual field. You know, I go on so many auditions per week and one will land maybe, but a lot of the time you do get told no, and to not let that get to you too much, to kind of use every audition as just another chance to perform and to work on something new as opposed to stressing out about booking it. Because I feel like once you stress out too much about booking the next job, you never do the work that you really need to show in the room, which is just you being comfortable doing what you're doing, being able to take direction, having a good outlook on it, and having fun. Mm-hmm. So definitely, although it is a lot of rejection and it is really hard, just to be as prepared as you can be, always know the material that you're doing, make choices, you know, make sure that you really have a clear character when you walk into the room, because that's really all you can do. You can just be as prepared as you possibly can. You have to be able to show that you can have fun and that you have made decisions about the character. And after that, it's pretty much up to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
you know, but I also think that doing concerts and getting involved with people who are writing new music or doing new plays and things like that, it's really important. And so, oftentimes a lot of those things are doing them for free, but they get your name out there and they get you talking to other people and being creative and kind of getting into the scene of New York, which I think is really, really important. So, yeah, surround yourself with good, supportive friends and family, and just keep working, taking classes and doing what you love to do, because if you don't love doing it, then what's the point?
Right. So can we talk a little bit about Wicked, since, you know, with us being a Wicked website and all, can we ask you a couple of questions about your time in Wicked?
Sure.
So if you could sum it all up in one word, which I know is going to be really hard, what would that word be to sum up all your time in Wicked?
Sum up all my time in Wicked.
You can't say green.
Right. let's see. Inspiring, I guess, would be the word that I would use.
And so, I mean, like, you're truly one of those who really, like, climbed the ranks, basically, at Wicked, you know, started off as the understudy and then moved up to standby and then eventually took over the role. Did you find that, you know, once you became the lead, that you kind of got into a groove and were able to, you know, how did you sustain yourself, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask. Like,
Yeah, definitely. I actually thought, you know, there are hard things about being the understudy, there are hard things about being a standby, and then there are hard things, obviously, about being the role. But I do feel like I did kind of calm down a little bit once I took over, because it was always up to me if I was in the show or not. So instead of stressing myself out too much if I had to call out or if I wasn't feeling, you know, as good on a matinee as I did the night before, I sort of took over the role and said, I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not going to make myself feel insane if I don't have a perfect show every night. I'm just going to come to work when I feel like I can do my job, and when I can't, there are two awesome girls that, you know, I've been in their positions before that I know they're going to, like, rock out and be amazing. So I definitely feel like taking over the role, I did calm down a little bit, and I did, my voice definitely got into more of a groove. Mm-hmm. I think standby is hard because you're the first one to go on no matter what, and you don't necessarily always know when you're going to go on. And you're not singing every day anyways, so that can be a challenge. And then being the understudy is a challenge because you very rarely get to go on because there's two people in front of you that go on. So when you do, it feels insane. So I think there's really hard things about all of those roles. And I definitely think for me, being able to be the understudy and then the standby really helped me take over the role and relax and calm down and not go crazy and, you know, take care of myself first and foremost, right, and make sure that the show was in good shape. And if I was not going to be good for the show, then somebody else can do it.
Was there a particular part of the show that you particularly loved doing every night?
Yeah, I think, well, I've always loved singing I'm Not That Girl, just because it was definitely harder for me to get those higher notes that she sings. I'm Not That Girl has always sat really well in my voice because I definitely have a lower voice, I think, than some of the other girls that have played Elphaba. Mm-hmm. So it took me a while to kind of get my belt up to the high stuff that she has to do. So I've always enjoyed singing that song, but I think my favorite part of the show is probably the cat fight into No Good Deed. That's my favorite. I mean, it's such a good scene. You know, it's fun. It's sad. You made it to the end of the show, so as an actor, you're kind of exhausted and just letting it all out there, and the song is just so fun to perform. You know, you feel like an 80s rock star. You have this cape and smoke and you're screaming. You know, it's like, it's so cool. So that was definitely became my favorite song.
And, you know, talking about the vocals and all that and with the high stuff, and that song especially, I guess, is a good example of this. You were known for taking a lot of alternate notes in the score that, of course, fans love. What kind of influenced that for you? Like, what determined, hey, I think I'm going to try this? Was there any, like, thought process behind it specifically, or was it just kind of like a in-the-moment thing most of the time?
Yeah, most of the time I feel like it was in the moment, and then I would keep things that I liked. I definitely did some that I wish I never tried. I definitely, like, had some shows where I was like, oh, okay, that was, you know, I felt like it was in the moment, and I didn't quite make it there. But I think it's good to kind of change up the score that you're singing all the time, especially even just to continue to stretch your voice. Mm-hmm. I think what started happening for me is I was singing the show the same way over and over again, and those parts of my voice were getting tired because I was overusing them. So that's sort of actually what started making me play with the higher stuff, because it actually felt better in my voice. It didn't feel like I was pushing as much.
Yeah, like with the top defying gravity, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like to take the actual optional high notes felt healthier to me and kind of continue to stretch my voice and make sure that you know, I wasn't staying on one note the whole time and tiring out the same section of my voice. So I actually think that really helped me kind of grow vocally, just because out of necessity, really. You know, you have to sort of, or at least I had to change things up sometimes to be safe with myself and to continue to work my voice out.
Right. Well, talk a little bit about, I guess we affectionately call it Operation Charlotte. So what was that like for you, having everybody there for that last weekend, basically, of your show?
I mean, you know, there were some people that were telling me they were coming, but I was not expecting that many people coming to support us. And, you know, it was a big group of people. I mean, it was a lot of us leaving. You know, me, Billy, and Gina all at the same time. Mm-hmm. It was a big deal, I think, for our cast, and a big deal for the fans that follow the show. You know, it rarely happens where everyone leaves all at the same time.
Right.
And, you know, and so I think that that just having everybody's support there made it less sad and more exciting. And it felt like it was time. And I was happy that we all got to have our last show together, because I feel like the three of us really built our characters off of each other and really worked well together. So that last show meant a lot to the three of us, and it meant obviously a lot to the fans of the show too, because so many people came. So it was amazing. I mean, I wouldn't have, it was one of the most memorable, best times of my life. And definitely, you know, have to thank everybody that showed up, because it made it so incredibly special for us. And it made us feel like, you know, we made a difference in other people's lives, and we felt just a lot of love in the audience. It was so fun. The last show was sad and fun, and just a culmination of the entire year that we spent together, and it was just beautiful.
The audience energy was fantastic. That was easily the best.
It was amazing.
That was the best performance of the show I have ever seen.
It felt amazing. We just had so much fun, and it really was. You know, it was the best time I ever felt, like we did the show, and I'm sure because emotions are running high and all of that, but it really did feel incredible, and having everybody there was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is there any other role that you think you would like to do in Wicked at some point?
You know, I always wanted to do Nessa Rose, but originally I went in for an Elf of a cover while I was rehearsing Rent. And then after that, the next time I got called in, I did the Nessa and Elf of a material. And I really liked doing the Nessa stuff. I think that she's such a cool character. And although she's not necessarily given a lot to do, it kind of also gives the actress room to make the character their own. And I mean, everyone that I've done Nessa with has been amazing and has changed it up. Like, Christine was completely different than Michelle, who was completely different than Catherine, who was completely different than Zara. And, you know, everyone's just been amazing in that role. And I think it's actually a really underrated role in the show. And I think that if you can do it really well, it can be a huge standout role. So that would definitely be something I would be interested in. And trying out someday.
So, would you ever want to come back to the role and maybe do the show on Broadway?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I'm sure there's a lot of fans who would love that.
Oh, that would be awesome. I mean, that would be the dream. You know, I love the show. I never, even though I was in the show for a long time, I never got sick of the role. I mean, you can't. It's like you're given so much to work with. And I loved my cast, and I loved staying with the same tour the entire time, but to do it on Broadway would definitely be a dream, because, you know, I saw it with Idina Menzel and Megan Hilty, I think, was my first Linda that I saw. She was a standby at the time, I'm pretty sure. And I saw the two of them, and in the second row, I could barely see the right side of the stage because I got, you know, the cheaper, like, obstructed view seats, and I just remember crying the entire time. Because I was so moved by it. And of course, Idina was my idol. So to be able to perform in the same stage that she did and to be in that theater would be a dream come true.
Uh-huh.
How do you think that you are similar to Elphaba, and how do you think that playing Elphaba has made you more similar to her?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I definitely feel like I definitely have the tendency to get emotionally heightened like she does when I'm really passionate about things. I've always been really passionate about animals. I've always been really passionate about kind of helping the underdog. So I think that is very similar in that way. I'm definitely a very awkward person. I don't necessarily always say the right things. So that's definitely something that I liked about her and that I related to her. But I do. I think playing her definitely has made me a more confident person. I think in the beginning of the show, she's always kind of confident. That's something that that I definitely needed to work on in the role, because I played the awkward side very well in the beginning, but I felt like it took me a while to kind of transform into that second act where she. Although she's hurting and she's at the lowest point in her life and she's, you know, running from the law, she's still very confident and believes in what she's saying and won't take no for an answer. And that's definitely something that playing her has actually helped me with, I think, is kind of just being more confident and standing up for myself and doing what I feel is right, even if it's not the popular thing to do. And that was definitely something that I struggled with, I think, before, like when I first got the show. And after playing her, I feel like I'm a much more confident person. I'm a more confident actress and singer because of it. And I definitely owe that to kind of having to play that character and be that kind of a performer. So I think that's definitely helped me in that way.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it really is. Well, before we finish up, or is there any, just kind of another fun question, are there any memorable bloopers or funny moments that you recall from Wicked or any other show you've done that you think people would get a kick out of that you can share?
Yeah, let's see. Well, at the St. Louis Fox Theater, we opened Rent. That was our opening city. And there was a super old elevator. And in the first act of Rent, you know, Maureen has a lot of breaks. She does a couple things in the ensemble, sings off stage a bunch, but she really doesn't come in until the end of the act. And there was one little part where I'm supposed to go up to the top of the stairs and say my voicemail, my voice message or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got in the elevator, and I thought I would have had plenty of time to get down the 7 floors, and the elevator just completely got stuck and wouldn't open. And so I was at the bottom, like, at the stage level, trying to get out of the elevator. I had, like, 5 people trying to pry open the doors. Nothing was working. I hear my cue, the beep. And instead of, like, a smart actor would have said, well, my mic's still on, and I should just start speaking, I didn't say anything. So my poor understudy, who hadn't been rehearsed for the part yet, Hannah Shankman, was holding the voicemail machine and realized that I wasn't coming on, but didn't quite know the lines yet. So she just started yelling over the voice machine, kind of what she thought the lines were. And it was like, you've reached Maureen. I can't come to the phone right now. And it was just like awkward and silent. And they finally got me out of the elevator and I finished the rest of the show, but I was pretty mortified. So every time that I go back to that theater now, which has been a couple times with Wicked, I will not get in that elevator. I will take stairs no matter what. I'm not going to have that happen again. Not like it could happen with Elphaba because she's always on stage, but I was like, nope, never again. So that was a good one. And I fell a lot during Wicked. I mean, that was definitely the biggest blooper, I would say. That happened to me during Wicked. I would trip on that second act dress like once every performance and occasionally would fall on my face.
No.
So yeah, definitely things like that. But the red one is pretty memorable.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Christine. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you too. Thanks so much.
And so remind listeners one more time when and where the concerts are.
Oh, yes. Okay, so there's Broadway Sings Amy Winehouse, which is Monday, September 9th at 9:30. And that is at Le Poisson Rouge. And then the one that is coming up next week is Monday, August 19th. The doors are at 7, the show's at 8. It is the Lions and Packchar concert. I will be singing Let Go, and that is at the Cutting Room, which is on East 32nd Street. So I hope to see people there at one or both of those. They're going to be awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much again, Christine.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Indie Window and Out Your Window podcast. As always, your feedback is really appreciated. You can tweet us at wicked_blog, email us at editor@innuendoandoutyouwindow.com, send us a message on our Facebook page, Innuendo and Out Your Window, or you can leave a comment on the feedback form on our site. Thanks for listening. Until next time.